You may be seated. It's been about a year since I have preached, and I was a pastor for in North Dakota and Iowa and California for about 30 years. So when you have to be quiet that long, you have a lot stored up. So if you have somewhere to go, you might want to think about making a phone call or something. Today we're going to talk about this young woman, Mary. We know that she was probably 15, 16 years old. She wasn't married yet, and yet that was about the time when young women got engaged and they started to be married, start families, and that kind of thing. So she would have been young enough to be before that stage in her life. And she was busy, as everyone in a small town would be, working and gathering things and helping her mother and her relatives and just being a teenage girl. There are some things about teenage girls that I personally didn't know until I had two of my own. And they're not teenagers anymore. They have their own teenagers. And I tell them, see, I told you. I was talking to my father on the phone. My daughter will be 40 years old this week. And I was talking to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm not old enough to have a 40-year-old daughter. And he said, I certainly am not old enough to have a 61-year-old son. And I said, point taken. But anyway, when they were growing up, I used to read that part of the Bible where it talked about Joseph vowing or attempting when he found out that Mary was having a child, and it certainly wasn't his, and how he was trying to find a way to put her away quietly. And I used to laugh every time I read that, because you don't do anything quietly with a 15-year-old girl. It doesn't happen. And she's out and about, and I'm sure her mother told her, just like mothers everywhere have always told their girls, don't talk to strangers. Have any of you said that to your children? Do not talk to strangers. So Mary is out and about. We know that Gabriel walked up to her and began to talk to her. We know it's Gabriel. We know it's an angel. But we know from reading the scriptures that an angel in their full glory, I mean, if you see the angel and you know it's an angel, generally people just fall down and they're scared beyond imagining. And she wasn't. And we have other occasions in the Bible where an angel will simply appear as a human being. Well, apparently Gabriel was just appearing as a human being, and he walked up to her, and he says, hi, beautiful, the Lord is with you. And she being 15 and having listened to her mother, she wondered, the Bible says, what kind of greeting this was. I'll bet she did. What kind of greeting this was? And the Bible says she didn't answer him the first time. She listened to her mother. Don't talk to strangers. So he moves on in the conversation and he says, you know what, Mary? You are really on God's list. As a matter of fact, you're at the top of God's list, and he wants you to have his child. And Mary, the little wheels are turning, and she says, I can't have a child. I don't have a husband yet. So she told him that. And I think there might have been just a little bit of a fear in her life that maybe this man, this stranger, had some intentions that were not upfront and honorable. So she says, I don't think so. So he comes back and he says, oh, you just can't believe this. The child you will have will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you'll name him Jesus, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and he'll be the chosen one, and he's the one everybody that's been looking for, and that's the baby you're going to have. And this is why I'm sure she's maybe 14, 15, because she very naively, without thinking about what's going to happen, says, okay. And then he adds a little piece at the end. He says, oh, by the way, you know your cousin Elizabeth, the one who never had a baby? Well, she's 6 months along. Just thought I'd let you know. He leaves. She goes home. And she talks to her mother, and she says, Mom, you won't believe what happened to me today. And her mother goes, what happened? Well, this guy came up to me and started talking to me. And he told me that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And you know how old she is. She must be 35, 36. And you know how decrepit these, you know, mid-30s people are. She needs some help. I need to go there. And her mother said, well, okay, I think we can work that out. Did he say anything else? Oh, yeah, he said I was going to have a baby and it would be the Son of God. I imagine her mother looked at her like she just swallowed a kitten. So she goes. She'd heard the word of the Lord. Something had happened. She walks in on her cousin Elizabeth, and her cousin Elizabeth, the baby, John the Baptist, leaps. The Bible says he stirred. And she prophesied. She says, oh, how is it that the mother of my Lord should be in my kitchen? And she confirmed the word of the Lord to this young woman. And I'm sure that Mary thought, well, if Elizabeth understands, everyone will understand. So the baby comes. She's gone 3 months. She goes back home. Little town. I've lived in little towns. Mary leaves for 3 months. She comes back 3 months pregnant. The tongues were a wagon, folks. And then anybody who's on the inside, you can just sort of imagine maybe one of these TMZ or something going to interview her and say, yeah, Mary, what happened? Well, there was this guy, see, and he told me that I would conceive by the Holy Spirit and I was going to have the Son of God. And the reporter might turn to the camera and roll his eyes and say, well, we've heard this before. Tongues are wagging. Family's embarrassed. She's engaged to Joseph. You know, Joey the carpenter. And Joey goes to work, and his friend, hey, Joey! We hear your girl's been stepping out on you. And You see, this is not conjecture. It's all there in the text. We know this is what happened. When God speaks to us and gives us something to carry, it's not always easy to get people to understand that the word of the Lord has come to us. They sometimes think we're nuts. So an angel comes to Joey in the middle of the night and says, "Joseph, you don't have to be afraid. Mary is telling you the truth." And that was a big day at work the next day when Joey says, "You know, an angel appeared to me in a dream last night. Mary's telling me the truth." Yeah. You see, God had a problem. The girl he picked lived in Nazareth, but Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. How do you get Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem when she's not feeling real good because she's real pregnant? Well, you just make it so difficult, so painful for her to be in her hometown that when Joseph says, "I have to go to Bethlehem and be registered," she said, "I'm in." I mean, I've been married. See, I have to get this right. 41 years in October. And when my wife was 8, 9 months pregnant, it was hard for me to get her off the couch so that she could walk to dinner. And this girl walked basically 80 miles over hills, in the desert with Joseph. And we know that she and Joseph had no intention of ever returning to Nazareth. Every Sunday in our churches, we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." Every Sunday, we proclaim to the world, to anyone that will listen, we believe her. And when we say we believe her, every person who says, "I don't think there's a God," we go, "Oh, yes, there is. Not only is there a God, but he's a very specific God, and he does very specific things." Or someone might say, "Well, if there is a God, he doesn't do anything." And we go, "Oh, yes, he does. He intervenes in the affairs of men. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman." I bite my nails. It's a nasty, ugly habit. But my mother bit hers. All my uncles bit theirs, so I blame it on them. But I want to quit, and I tried everything. Finally, after praying about it, I got this wild idea. I'll go to one of these nail shops, and maybe they can put something on my nails so that I won't bite them and they'll heal. So I went into the shop, And the person who did my nails, older gentleman, didn't speak good English, from Vietnam. This was in Iowa. And we moved up here to Mount Prospect. I found another nail shop. I walked into the nail shop. Met Denny and his wife, Sandy, both from Vietnam. There's a nail shop on every corner. The proprietors are all from Vietnam. How does this happen? So I'm sitting down with Denny and I look over his shoulder and there's a cross and a big picture of Pope John Paul. And he speaks very broken English, but I can understand him. And I said, oh, you're Vietnamese, yes. Where are you from? And he says, Chicago. I says, no, where are you from? I've been to Vietnam. Where in Vietnam are you from? He says, I'm from Da Nang. I said, I've been there. I said, I spent most of my time north of there in Phu Bai. Oh, I've been there. So we're just talking up a storm. And I realized that Denny and I are brothers. We have the same father. I had an experience when I was in Vietnam. There are two young women. I mean, I was only 19, but I'd been to basic training, so I thought I was old. And these two girls used to come in and take care of things for us so that we could work the 16, 18 hours a day that we were working. And I was a clerk, and I didn't want to be a clerk, I wanted to fight. When you're 19, you're really stupid. So I managed to get reassigned as a helicopter door gunner. And I went to leave. And these two girls, they both wore crosses. And they came to me, and there were tears in their eyes. Says, you go fight. You go fight. I said, well, yeah. I'm stupid. I'm going to fight. We're Christians. If you lose, we die. What? I thought this was about America. I thought this was about imperialism and colonialism and all of that ugly stuff. But to these two girls, believing what this young woman said was a matter of life and death. That's why Denny's in a little shop doing my nails, because he's a Catholic. He's my brother. He believes in Jesus. He believes in the virgin birth. He believes against all imaginable responsible things that Jesus Christ came and was born to this virgin woman, that he died and he rose from the dead. And there are a lot of people who don't like us because we believe that. That's why Mary says this is a world turned upside down. Everybody was looking for the Messiah in kings' palaces. And God goes to this little town on a little hill in northern Israel and comes to a young woman. And then God says, I'm going to change the world. And every Sunday we gather together and we say, yes, he did. God is still intervening. Every time I come to church and the prayers are said and people's lives are changed, they're touched, they're encouraged, we proclaim to the world, God is still in the business of turning things upside down. When we confess our faith, we are saying the world is turned upside down. When the British Army surrendered to George Washington at Yorktown, and the United States had gained its independence, and the British Army was completely humiliated, as they lay down their arms and went into captivity, the American army sang the song, "The World Turned Upside Down." When I hear from the chancel, "This is my body. This is my blood." The Word of God comes and creates in me that faith. And Jesus Christ becomes present in the bread and the wine. And I have something I could never have without this young girl in her naivete saying, "Okay, I'll do it your way. I'll leave it to you. Just use me." That's where we all are today. We're in a world that doesn't believe what we believe. There are conflicts that we think are about politics, but many times they're about faith. They're about what God is doing. And we need to be clear that we're on the side that believes what this girl said happened to her. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary and born, conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. We say it openly because it's true.